One of the more exciting feelings in life is having a breakthrough, feeling like you're progressing. And on the opposite end, when you've been in the same place for too long or you feel like you're stuck, it actually feels like you're moving backwards. The truth is, we need to be moving forward with some consistency for us to feel okay in life, for us to feel happy. And many people I've worked with, people I've coached, sometimes they feel very stuck and they feel like they've been in the same place for too long. I used to feel like that all the time, but over the last 2 years, I realized I have reliably found myself in a place where I am transforming every 4 to 5 to 6 months. I go through a breakthrough and it's incredible. What it really feels like is like it's Christmas every 4 or 5 months, but it's not like Christmas between families where there's like stress of the holidays. Feels like Santa Claus is actually real. And Santa Claus, he's like gonna give you this great new gift every 5 months. It's not like a sweater or something. It's like your next breakthrough, your next transformation. I realize that these breakthroughs in life, they are possible. And if you give yourself a reasonably long timeline, something like 4, 5, 6 months, you can have these substantial breakthroughs all the time. It's a short enough time period where you don't mind working towards it. You don't mind having a little bit of patience for it, but also long enough where you can actually do something weighty and achieve something with significance. So in this video, I want to talk about how your next strategic move can change your life in a mere 6 months. The first idea in this video is to make a log of all of your open loops and then resolve to start closing those loops from easiest to hardest. I came up with this idea of the open loop because of my team meetings. I would get on a call every Sunday with my team and we would start talking about the next video project that we're working on or the next client we need to satisfy and all these ideas that I might have for it. You know, maybe I want to bring on a certain guest, maybe a local Minneapolis celebrity to my podcast or get a great location for an upcoming shoot that I want to do. We would start these conversations and we would start the sort of pre-production for it. But oftentimes those conversations would not lead to a location booked, a guest booked on my podcast. Nothing would really happen. So what it would ultimately create are these open loops, these things that we would start but not finish. And the nature of life, the nature of existence, is that things only have power when they are finished, when they are completed in full. But anything that's completed 10%, 30%, 40%, it actually has 0% of its value. I recently watched this movie, The Imitation Game. This was my first time watching it, actually. My business partner recommended it to me for a long time, and then I finally got around to seeing it. And in that movie, Benedict Cumberbatch, who plays Alan Turing, is working on solving this terrible Nazi code, Enigma, that would give them an edge in World War II. For the longest time, he's working on it. And then eventually he's able to crack all of the codes that any German soldier would ever send all at once. So when he solved the problem in full, he had full access to basically German strategic intelligence. And before that, making progress on his supercomputer that would allow him to break the German Nazi code, that 40% progress, 50% progress, it carried no weight in the real world. Our lives work the same way. The open loops in your life, whether it is the fact that you need to book a dentist appointment or that you need to finish certification or that you need to get on some nutrition program and you haven't, or even the fact that maybe your door gets stuck every time you try to close your door and it bothers you, it annoys you, it's like not closing all the way. Anything that is an incomplete in your life, anything that is causing some kind of like mental calculation repeatedly is slowing you down, and it's sort of spiritually slowing you down. When you tidy your space completely, you transform the scenery. The change is so profound that you feel as if you are living in a totally different world. This deeply affects your mind. This is from the book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. And in that book, the author talks about how there would be people who went through her coaching program, who went through her organization academy. And when they would clean their houses, suddenly their businesses, which were really slow, would start speeding up and the phone would start ringing again. In another book called The Success Principles by Jack Canfield, the author talks about the same thing. When you take note of all the incompletes in your life and you just start working away at them, maybe starting from the easier ones that are open, like maybe you need a new toothbrush, that's an open loop that you can close really quickly, and slowly working your way up towards harder ones. When you start closing open loops, your life propels propels forward. It's almost like spiritually, you finish something in the past and that leaves room for the next thing to finally start coming in. I actually made a log of all of these open loops that I have in my life. And it was funny. A lot of the stuff that came up is stuff that I don't actually care about in terms of my deep values. It was things like the fact that I've only logged 10 to 15 hours flying in the sky because I took all these flight lessons last year, but I never actually finished this curriculum to getting my private pilot's license. Now, I don't actually care about flying, but I think I am irked by the fact that I got 10 hours up in the air and I only need 20, 30, 40 hours more to get this license. Like, what was the point of spending all that money and getting 10, 15 hours in the air if I don't just go all the way and get this license? And the same thing with a number of my other goals. You know, I ran a marathon last year and I prepped really hard for it, but I didn't achieve my goal of running it in less than 4 hours. Or currently what I'm wrestling with most importantly is that I've written half of a screenplay, this screenplay that is my dream project, but at least at the time of recording this video, I haven't finished it. And half a screenplay genuinely has no value. If I were to finish it, it would feel like this great artistic emotional catharsis. So we all have open loops, and you probably have a lot more open loops in your life than you fully acknowledge. They're just kind of swimming around your brain and your subconscious. The first order of business is to make an enormous log. Just do a full-blown brain dump of all the open loops in your life and see what comes out. And then slowly start chipping away at them from easiest to hardest. Now, the second principle then is the heart of this whole video, which is one of those open loops is your next strategic move. The strategic move is the concept that I've talked about most powerfully in my last several videos, but just because I think it's really that impactful. The strategic move is basically that goal that you can achieve within a few months' time that you feel very confident you can achieve. You 100% think you can achieve this goal, but it's also still somewhat exciting. Now, very often our next strategic move, that thing that is definitively possible to achieve, it's not the main thing. Like, it's not what we really, really want to achieve, but it is what is 100% possible. So what you should do is find excitement in the actuality of the achievement of that goal, because it's better to go after something that is challenging, that is exciting, but you know you've got it. Like, you know you have what it takes to achieve that thing. Go all in on it, achieve that goal. Whereas another person might go for something that's too lofty, but it's too outside of the realm of reality of what they're able to even conceptualize right now. So them starting on that goal would ultimately lead nowhere. My last strategic move that I was working towards was getting to sub 12% body fat. And after 3 to 4 months of dieting, I achieved it. And I must say, it was the right move. Like, it was the right goal to pursue when I started this strategic move in February. Because in a handful of months, I think I've just felt my knowledge around nutrition, sleep, even training, improved a ton. I feel much healthier, much more like light and free in my body. And I think I even read better on camera as a result. So that was the exact right goal to go after in that season of my life. And as you look at your current open loops, you can see that one of those loops is actually pretty sizey. It's pretty weighty, but you can achieve that loop. It might take you a little bit longer though. It might take you 4, 5, or 6 months to close out that next open loop. So actually what I realized for me, I thought after achieving the last strategic move that the next one would be more business driven, but really what it was is now to put on muscle. You see, I got pretty lean, but I'm still a fairly slim guy. I'm like 6 feet tall and around 164 pounds. So I'm not really all that muscular. I just look like kind of lean. I kind of look like I just play a little bit of soccer or badminton. I just look like a normal fit dude, but I don't actually have that impressive physique. And my trainer, what he told me is like, you know, you're actually a lot closer to that muscular, impressive physique, that sort of Brad Pitt and Troy type physique where it's actually, there's some like size to you as well as leanness. I'm actually a lot closer to it than I ever have been in my life, because in the process of cutting, I had to learn so much about nutrition. You know, I had to get all these habits around like drinking a gallon of water a day, tracking my macros, getting enough protein, even meal timing. I had to learn that really well. So I'm actually really optimized to put on muscle. So putting on 5 to 7 pounds of muscle in the next 6 months or 10 pounds of muscle in the next year is actually very achievable for me. And I'm guessing what that might do is change me from being someone with like, like not bad, like pretty solid physique. Nice, you're not fat. Well done, bro. To like, damn, you actually look really muscular. Like, you look really solid. Achieving that goal is really there for the taking for me now after all this training. So when you look at these open loops, what you have to ask yourself is, out of all of the things you are pursuing and out of all of the open loops that you have, what feels like it is progressing the most substantially? The nice thing about making your next strategic move fitness is that for the most part, it's a guaranteed return on investment. Whereas With my life, with work, business, relationships, it's a lot messier. It relies on other people and it relies on me interacting with the world so much more deeply. It's a much more complicated thing to try to bring about progress in. I'm not saying those things can't be your next strategic move. I love the idea of progressing in business and making business money, status, making that my next strategic move, or even relationships, you know, like having a loving relationship, being a pillar in my community, having more people know me and like me and like throwing parties and stuff. Some of that does appeal to me, but it's a lot messier of a process. So I actually often find that it's very useful for a lot of people to lead with fitness as their next move, because that one is 100% in your control. Fitness requires no creative thinking, really. It's just like, do the stuff and you'll get some version of the result. So that's the next principle. I won't beat it to death any more than I have, but after you've figured out what all of your open loops are, determine what that one open loop is that actually you can achieve that is super meaningful. The next idea then is to employ the Bugenhagen method. Blast that one thing into the ground until you plateau. And then when you plateau, switch. So the Bugenhagen method, you know, I'm a big fan of Eric Bugenhagen. He's like this powerlifter, now like WWE wrestler who I follow, who my editor had turned me on to many years ago. And his whole training philosophy around fitness is to basically have no program. Instead, he just picks one lift and do it every day, like do it every fucking day until you completely plateau, until you're completely stuck on that one thing and just blast it into the ground. So for instance, the exercise that I've chosen in this kind of stretch of the summer is the weighted chin up. I just think it's really fun to have those chains around me. It makes me feel kind of epic, makes me feel like Batman. And then I just work away at the weighted chin up. And instead of following, you know, someone like Greg O'Gallagher or Kino Body, he would say, you know, you should be adding 2.5 pounds every week. What I've been doing is just PRing on the chin up every day. And I was starting off with sets of 5 reps. And then when I couldn't, you know, do 5s, I would come down to 4s. And then when I couldn't do 4s, come down to 3s. And then when I couldn't do triples, I would come down to a double. And then when I finally dropped down to a single, then I would go back up to the weight that I could handle a 5. But I've been honestly hitting PRs every single day. And so my weighted chin up went from 25 pounds for 5 to around 55 for 5 in just 3 weeks. So in 3 weeks, I added on 30 pounds to my weighted chin up. Now, a lot of that, I'm sure, was newbie gains. But if I followed any sort of programming where I'm like doing it once a week, I would have only put on 2.5 pounds a week, maybe 5 pounds a week. I wouldn't have progressed that fast. Instead, I did basically 2 to 3 months worth of damage on the weighted chin up just because I blasted that fucker into the ground every day. What I do is wake up when I'm like neurologically fresh. I just go take care of the weighted chin up PR that I'm trying to go for that day. And if the one day if it's a major grinder and I just cooked it to the bone, I like really fatigued myself, I'll take that day off. But for the most part, I have been doing chin-ups like 5 or 6 days a week. It's kind of insane, honestly, but I've been progressing really fast. Now, at some point, I'm not going to make the same strength gains because, you know, going from 25 to 55, that's like relatively easy. Now, going from 55 to 90, somewhere along that path, I might plateau. But when you plateau, you can just switch. You know, once you've really cooked an exercise, you can switch. Now, this is a training philosophy, but it also applies to the open loops that you're working on. Out of all of your open loops, if you identified the one where you can really push on it, where its progress really means something to you, and it's a goal that you can achieve in 5 or 6 months, you can just work that strategic move every day for a couple hours, like overcook that strategic move. You know, it's actually meaningful for you to push on it. It's easy. It gives back to you. So what you should do is blast the actions related to that goal right into the ground. This is like giving you full permission to neglect other components of your life just because this open loop carries the most weight. Now, you're not going to fully neglect other portions of your life because working on any given thing, what you really need to do is stack days and stack cumulative time of effort on any one thing. So what you want to do is make sure that you're working away at this thing with your best mind every day, as much as you can until you completely plateau. For instance, at this point, if I had to stop being a YouTuber and go back into software engineering, I genuinely would find that to be a very fun challenge because I would just overcook my prep with software engineering to the ground. You know, I've done it before. I'll just go back to do it again. And if I was in a position where I quickly needed to ramp up to like $100,000 a year salary, 150K even, I would just learn whatever programming language I need to learn, whatever coursework is online, and I would just start grinding that thing. Like that would be where I apply the Eric Bugenhagen method of just like overworking one exercise until I fucking plateau on it and I can't do it anymore. You can do this with any terrain of life. You know, if you need to get really good at dating, you like suck with cold approach, talking to girls, and you've determined that to be your next strategic move. Honestly, buy all the courses, buy all the books, and then every day, like allot some time to like practicing day game, night game. I've never done any night game, to be honest, but like cold approach, like track how many people you're cold approaching, do it when your mind mind is most fresh. And in your downtime, you can like study like, oh, how did that approach go? How did that go? You can take photos for your like dating profiles and like try to get the photos that like line up with different aspects of your personality. This is my cute photo with my cat, pet, you know, whatever it might be. It doesn't matter what terrain of life you pick. It doesn't necessarily have to be business or something super serious. But as long as you identify that open loop that is the most important to you, that is the most significant, you can just cook that fucker, you know, like you can just apply the Eric Bugenhagen method to it. Blast that one thing into the ground until you plateau. And then when you finally plateau, you'll probably have gotten really far, you know, metaphorically, you would have gotten the equivalent of adding 30 or 40 pounds to your weighted chin up. And when you finally plateau, you can switch on to your new goal. Principle four then, embrace the fact that it feels like a side quest. So I keep coming back to this video game because I played it the most as a kid, but it's Legend of Zelda, and especially Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. And the reason I think the metaphor with this game works so well with life is because in life, we have our main goals, and then we also have side quests. Now, the thing about going after open loops is that a lot of the ones that feel very achievable to you, they feel like a side quest. You know, like for instance, maybe you want to become $1 million CEO, but you don't exactly know how to do that right now. So instead, your current strategic move is to get a $70,000-$80,000 a year coding job or a declarative programming job, becoming a data scientist or something like that. I'm going to be working for the man. This is corporate. I'm only going to be making $100,000 a year. I mean, that's fine, but it sounds like the $1 million CEO that I want to be. But the thing is, when you pursue goals, sometimes it feels like you're doing a side quest because you're not doing the main thing. You're not directly working on the main thing. You know, you want to work on a feature film movie, but instead you're growing a YouTube channel, whatever it might be. The main quest could be too challenging. For me, for instance, in Legend of Zelda, there were some temples and some bosses that were so hard and so challenging that it would get kind of depressing. Like I would keep losing to the same boss battle or like mini boss battle every time, or some puzzle I couldn't solve. I would keep falling into the lava or just getting too confused about how to move forward in that temple. Like I couldn't figure out the temple and I didn't want to like have to try to look it up. It was just too annoying to work on that thing. But I could do these things like in Twilight Princess. There's these things called Poes. They're like these little souls you can collect, and also insects. You can collect these little magical insects, and all of those things, they give you heart containers. You can get like 5 pieces of these little heart containers as you do these various side quests, and those heart containers add up to an actual heart. And so that's really powerful actually, because when you get a new heart, it actually increases your stamina. So when a goblin or something hits you, you don't die as fast because you have an extra heart. So what I would do when I would get stuck on the main quest, you just start doing a bunch of fucking side quests, right? I would collect those 50 Poes. I would start getting those insects and get like the special Zora armor or whatever it might be. And so what would end up happening is, sure, you waste a lot of time theoretically on the side quest, whereas maybe you could just be grinding out on like the main temple and just like bashing your head against the wall trying to figure out the temple or how to beat that boss. But by doing all these side quests, you're kind of enjoying the game. You know, you're galloping around Hyrule Castle. You're enjoying the game a lot more because the side quest, you're not as stuck on it as you are on the main quest. And then when you actually progress in the side quest, it actually does give you a little bit of advantage in the main quest, you know, because you get all those extra heart containers. And this is the perfect metaphor for a lot of our goals in life, because sometimes when you're stuck on the main quest, you know, maybe the main quest is that you want like this hot Victoria's Secret model girlfriend. I'm just using this as an example because it just occurred to me. Maybe that goal is not immediately there for you. It's not possible for you. But the fitness thing, the freaking chin-ups are going really well. Well, on some level, maybe the chin-ups is not like a direct match to the Victoria's Secret model, but it is helping you a little bit, right? Because it is like building some things out just slightly. It is like filling you out. Like one could argue old girls don't care about muscles, but all these little micro wins, these micro loops that are closing, they are progressing you. So actually you should embrace the nature of the side quest. You should be okay with the fact that a lot of stuff in life, it feels like a side quest, but achieving the side quest well and then coming back to the main game once you've sort of gathered some cool shit, it's a good feeling, and it prevents you from feeling bored or stuck in life because you're just progressing. You know, you're moving onwards. The last thing I want to say to you then is that you should leave space for silence and inspiration. When you're working towards closing a lot of open loops, a lot of it is just grinding it out. It's crunching, even if it is a fun open loop, like progressing on your chin-ups or learning some coding program that's going to progress your career. A lot of times it's just your logical brain. In fact, a lot of the ideas that I've presented in this video, they're very logical. And that's awesome. You know, I love working from a place of logic, but also the best leaps and the best kind of energy in your life will come when you leave space for inspiration. It's a big reason why a lot of my YouTube videos, I actually allow them to be inspired by cinematography. Even if cinematography and creative flourish edits they're not the main thing that might be linked to YouTube growth or YouTube success. It's a way for me to access the video. You know, these things, they make life fun. And I think it's good to have one thing that you're working towards that's an inspired project. A project that sort of implies blue sky thinking. It's outside the realm of logic. I think it's very valuable to leave one day a week where you just dream and you let yourself get inspired and you maybe don't work so hard. It's more like you're going for walks and you're meditating and thinking and journaling or watching a movie you really enjoy. For me, I think a great movie, there's nothing more powerful to get me back into the mix of really feeling inspired and excited about life. So days like these, they might not pay off right away, but they keep you hopeful and romantic. They keep a sense of romance about existence itself. And that's a very powerful thing. And so if you do these things, you make a log of all of your open loops and you even start closing those little ones and then eventually work towards that one open loop that's your next strategic move, the bigger one, and then progress on it maybe with the Eric Bugenhagen method where you're not doing it like once a week, but rather you just smack it every day. You basically go for like a strategic move PR every single day, embrace the fact that it feels like a side quest and eventually come back to those days that also give you a sense of inspiration. This is how you can reliably have a huge breakthrough, like transform yourself every 5 to 6 months. And it's a very exciting, a very encouraging way to live life. If you're new to the channel, my name is Nikhil. This channel features video essays for creatives on personal growth, really how to make progress in your life and your business. If that's something that appeals to you, then consider subscribing. If you want help growing your own YouTube channel and, you know, growing on this platform, then I have my own coaching program where students come in and we basically work in a very intimate setting to help someone get to 100,000 subscribers and beyond. If you want to learn more about that, there's an application form in the description box. And lastly, if you want to connect with me further, you can find me on Instagram where I put out just the occasional behind the scenes clip of the latest cinematic video that I'm working on. My plan now with YouTube is to sort of separate my cinematic story-driven efforts from my conceptual efforts, like videos that are more informational and direct. So you might have noticed that this video was a little bit more pared down, like more simply presented. It's because a lot of YouTube that I consume is while I'm out and about doing other things. I might be out for a run. I might just be driving and listening to a video. So I actually wanted to start creating videos that present in the way that I consume YouTube, which is simply for the information, simply for the idea. That being said, we're not losing our sense of cinema. It's just that all of those cinematic efforts are being packed into one video. So around once a month or once every 5 or 6 weeks, you will see that just banger video that feels like a movie that's very visual and story driven in its effort. But instead of putting a middling effort of both where there's some creative flourish in a video and then it mostly it's like aerial delivery, it's just the ideas, we're separating them fully. So look out for those story driven videos. They are coming, but more and more you're going to find these videos will be easy to consume as you're out and about doing other things. So if any of that appeals to you, consider subscribing, following me. And for those of us who are willing to close those open loops, to us, I say greatness is coming. We'll catch you next time.